Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. As those who were sent went their way and found it just as he said to them, but as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And he says, and they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw on their own clothes on him, on the colt. And they set Jesus on him. And as they went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice, with all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's say that again. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. God bless his word. You know, recognition often comes late in life after one has expended his strength and knowledge. The retiree may be given a gift of recognition, but is often too old to enjoy it fully. You know, we know a lot more now. I know a lot more now at 71 than I knew at 17. Even though at 17 I thought I knew everything. No, I was sure I knew everything. And then when I turned 21, I was totally amazed how much my father had learned in 4 short years. But you go to even special meetings and district councils and fellowship meetings, and they'll parade the old timers that have been serving God for 50 years, and they give them recognition. Now we have a recognition. We have awards, and we have recognition awards that are given out every year in our country. And Palm Sunday is about giving proper recognition to Jesus Christ. That's what Palm Sunday is all about. It's the day when people who were present during his lifetime gave recognition to him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, grant you, the recognition didn't last very long, because it was just a few short days and they were saying, crucify him, the same bunch. But I'm concerned that the church has become way too casual about giving Jesus the recognition he deserves. Often our praises are empty. Often we would yell more at a baseball game and shout more at a football game or at a soccer game than we're willing to shout in the house of God. Many parents will make more noise at a soccer game where their children are playing than they make for Jesus in the house of God, who saved them and has taken them to glory. And you say to yourself, what has happened? And I think it's because we've developed this attitude that God maybe is a distant God. He's not an everywhere present God. Do you know he's an everywhere present God? Yes. Do you know he's here right now?
Amen.
Do you know he'll be with you this afternoon, regardless of what you do? Do you know that you take him everywhere you go? I'll let that sink in. Some places he's reluctant to go with us. Maybe we should be reluctant to take him. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Often our praises reflect what's in our heart. Careful. Amen? Are you excited about Jesus? Let your lips know. Amen? Let your arms know. Glory be to God. We're a Pentecostal church.
Amen.
We read it right here, that if these be quiet, the rocks will cry out. I got a pile of rocks out there. They're about this big around, but maybe they're going to cry out, and people will look at them all. windows and say, what's going on out there? Well, we were too quiet, and they decided to pray for the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, let's consider some thoughts about this triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. First of all, the prerogative. Did he have the right to go? Well, his authority is displayed here. He's going to use a white Arabian steed. Right? No. He's going to use a donkey. He's going to use a donkey. Let me see. I can tell you about a donkey. I know about donkeys. Because I love donkeys. Yes.
Good laughter,
man. A donkey. And not just any donkey. He sends his disciples on an errand. He says, I want you to go over there into the village, and when you come into the village, you're going to find a young donkey. He calls him a colt. The writer to the gospel calls him a colt. In both what we read at the start of the service from Matthew and now what we read from Luke, the same story. And they both call him a colt. He had never been ridden. Now, I know when my phone goes off, because that's my ringtone, you'll find numerous people here in New York that will say, what's that? They don't know what that is. And so probably most people don't know that a donkey has to be trained to be ridden just like a horse. And this one had never, ever been ridden. I love donkeys. I had one growing up, and I love donkeys. He was untrained. He had never been ridden by anyone. Zechariah says it like this in Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. See, Jesus used his authority to give his disciples clear and concise instructions. What I love about serving God is nothing is ambiguous. If you really want to pay attention to what the Word of God says, it's very clear, it's very concise, it's very exact. Amen?
Amen?
Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's pretty concise and exact, is it not? Every liar shall have their part in the lake of fire. That's pretty concise, right? Right? If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Very concise, very exact. It doesn't take someone with a PhD to understand what Jesus wants of them. Amen? And the disciples were instructed, you go into the city, he told them just what they would have. They would go through the gates to the city, and when they get there, there would be a colt, and he would be tied outside the owner's home, loose him, and bring him to him. And Jesus knew there might be a problem with it. So maybe the owner's going to come out, because not everybody owned a donkey. Everybody went on foot. Everybody owned sandals. But not everybody owned a donkey. And so the owners were, oh, Dad, somebody's stealing our donkey. Oh, man, hey. What are you doing? Well, we're taking this because the master has need of him. Now, I don't know how much the owner knew, but he knew enough to say, it's okay. Amen?
Amen?
And they took the donkey to Jesus. See? Ancient law required that a citizen to render to any king, they had to render to that king any item that king requested. That was the law of the land. See, that's why Bathsheba is never judged other than the death of her baby for having committed adultery with David was judged because David was king. She could not say no to David. It was outside of the realm of possibility. If the king asked you for your house, he got your house. If the king asked you for your children, he got your children. Someone said, let him ask for my wife, I'll give her. If he asked for your mother-in-law, oh yeah, take it.
Don't give it.
Say it. See, while we consistently see Jesus serving, we fail to understand that also Jesus had to be served. See? Many people want to be part of the kingdom of God, but they don't want to serve. They want to be served. Because the only thing they remember and recognize of Jesus is people doing what he said. Jesus seeks my permission. See, Jesus seeks my permission. What I love about God is the devil never seeks your permission. Amen?
Amen.
The person that grabs that cigarette and smokes it for the first time, usually a young person, doesn't realize that he's given that cigarette permission to bind and to hold his life captive. Because the devil and his habits never ask for permission. Drugs don't ask for permission. They just enslave you. See? Jesus seeks permission. This has always been the pattern of God. No one ever is forced to receive Jesus as Savior. No one's ever forced to love him. No one's ever coerced into obeying him. The devil will force you. The devil will coerce you. You'll obey the devil or you won't live to tell about it. He's a hard taskmaster. See? But when we do yield ourselves, I love it. When we do yield ourselves and we yield our possessions, even though they might be small, I don't have much, but here it is what I've got. God takes the uncommon, the seemingly small item, the seemingly item that isn't worth much, and he uses it for his glory. He stood in the temple with his disciples. And he said, they're going to bring their tithe and their offerings into the temple, and they're going to put it in the box at the back. And I've got a little quiz for you boys this morning. I want you to watch them as they deposit their offering, and I want you to tell me who gives the most. And the wealthy came in with their bags of money. I can see them coming in now.
All right.
And then they get to the box and they open up the box, the bag a little bit. Ping, 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 ping. Wanting everybody to know what they were given. And a little lady comes in. She's a little lady. She has two mites. And she's got them hidden here. And she walks up and she looks around. Nobody's looking. And she deposits them in. And Jesus said, who gave the most? And they were tempted to say it was those that had the big bags. And Jesus said, no, she gave all she had.
Amen.
You know what's glorious about this principle? Is that when I give God all I have, he takes it and makes it more than I could ever dream it would ever become.
Amen.
But it's when I hold back that things become difficult. Rahab's scarlet cord saved her and her entire family. Can you believe it? All the walls fall down, and in the middle is standing one part of the wall with a house on top of it, and it's Rahab's, and it's got a red cord hanging down. Everything else falls except her. Paul's bucket. Paul gets saved, and he goes and presents himself to the apostles, and he's in Damascus because he was on his way to Damascus when he got knocked off the horse, and he went into Damascus, a street called Straight, and that's where Ananias the prophet comes to pray for him, and he gets healed of his blindness, and then they're going to attack him and get rid of him because he's an important defector. He was charged by Sanhedrin as a member of the Sanhedrin to go get those people that were saying Jesus is alive and have them killed as he did have Stephen killed. And now he's defected. Go get him. We can't have him running around. And they let him down in a basket over the walls of the city. David's little sling. 9 foot tall giant with a big huge sword. And David's got a little sling and 5 smooth stones. Moses' staff, just a cane. Throw it down and it becomes a snake. Pick it up by the tail, it becomes a staff. Lift it up and the Red Sea is parted. Hit the rock and water comes out of the rock. This is what little things that don't amount to much. Perfume that Mary pours on Jesus' feet and dries his feet with her hair. The little wood manger in that cave in Bethlehem where they laid baby Jesus. Think of the risk takers in his day. Rahab, who sheltered the spies, the brother who smuggled Paul out of the city. The risk takers. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to stand in the middle of the city. They may take my life, but I'm going to do it. Think of the innocent bystander who would in a week be standing on the side of the road as Jesus is crouching under the weight of the cross. And that bystander is going to be asked to carry that cross, and he's going to carry it up Golgotha's hill. It may seem little, but he's venerated till this day. Amen? We understand and know. It seems to be the little things that God uses the most. It seems to be the little things that God uses the most. In fact, it's when the little things become too large in our minds and hearts that they bind us and keep us from being generous and responsive to his requests. Hello? Listen to this story. Let's go back to the 19th century, the 1800s. There's a Sunday school teacher in Boston, and he leads a shoe clerk to the Lord. He's just a Sunday school teacher. We don't even know his name. And he leads a shoe clerk to the Lord. Now, they think that his name might have been Kimball, but there's a lot of controversy about it. But we do know who the shoe clerk was. The shoe clerk was Dwight L. Moody, who became an evangelist. He had a major influence. Watch the progression of little things. He had a major influence before he was ever popular, before he ever founded Moody Bible Institute, before he ever became a renowned evangelist in the United States. He had a major influence on Frederick B. Meyer, who began to preach on college campuses all over the United States. He wasn't called to the Coliseum. He wasn't called to the stadium. He wasn't called to the streets. He was called to the college campus. And he became involved with the YMCA as it was struggling to get started, youth for Christ. And he arranged for a former baseball player that had now become washed up. He could play baseball like he once did. His name was Billy Sundays. Charlotte, North Carolina. And Frederick said, "You come to Charlotte, North Carolina, we're going to have a revival." And he came, and a group of Charlotte community leaders were so enthused about the results of the revival that they planned another one and invited Mordecai Ham. You can go and Google that. You're going to be excited about him. Mordecai Ham. They invited him to preach, and in that revival, Billy Graham did save. From a Sunday school teacher in Boston, Massachusetts, to perhaps one of the greatest evangelists the world's ever seen, Billy Graham, starts with a little shoe clerk getting led to the Lord by a Sunday school teacher. Did the Boston Sunday school teacher have any idea that his conversations with the shoe salesman would yield Billy Graham in the future? But he, like the owners of the small colt, gave a small gift to the king. And God took that gift and used it for his glory to save people all over the globe.
Amen.
And then there's power in the story. There's not just prerogative in the story. There's power in the story. See, Jesus' power is unnoticed. So many people today, and many Christians sitting in the pew, none of them in this church, but I'll let you in on a little secret so that when you meet those from another church, you can help them.
Yes.
Now, I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about the other church. Are unaware of God's power. They're unaware of God's power. See, Jesus sat on an untamed donkey. Now, I watched a man in our church. His Pedro Rangel was his name. He had two donkeys, and they got together one day, and a year later, there was another little donkey came on the scene. And that little donkey grew, and I had a lot of fun with that little donkey. I played with that little donkey. That donkey kicked me. That donkey bit me once. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that donkey. And it came time that that donkey needed to be pressed into work because Brother Pedro needed to work. And so he said, I'm going to tame that donkey. I said, I want to see. So I went down to his house to watch him tame that donkey. He got kicked. He got bit. He got bucked. He got all kinds of problems before he was able to ride that donkey. Jesus gets on a donkey that had never been ridden. And the donkey goes just the way Jesus tells him to go.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? I think Jesus may have ridden him the way we rode him. I don't think I can do this because I don't think my hips will let me anymore. But this is the way we rode. Sit on the back of the donkey, cross your legs like that. One's on one side of the neck, the other's on the other. And all you do is just tap the neck when they're trained, the side you want to go, and they'll turn and go that way. When you want them to stop turning, you just tap the opposite foot. And they turn and go the other way. Do they do that in Africa too, James? Is that do they do that over there in Ghana? You don't ride donkeys in Ghana. You drive cars. Yeah, I understand. See, and they could, I don't know if Jesus did it that way, but I do know that the donkey went where Jesus wanted the donkey to go. And he had never been ridden. He was tamed by the power of God. It doesn't matter the habit we have. It doesn't matter the struggles we have. It doesn't matter the flesh that we have an onslaught by, that flesh that seems to rear its ugly head when we least want it to. It doesn't matter how powerful it might be. It can be tamed by the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See? The donkey remained unfazed. A miracle that went unnoticed. A miracle that went unnoticed. Salvation is one of the greatest unnoticed miracles of all. Salvation is one of the greatest unnoticed of all the greatest miracles in life. Because people get saved. Someone said, well, I don't know if they were really saved or not. Well, then they were. Hello? Because someone said, you're judging, Pastor. No, I'm not. Listen to what the Bible said. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Anybody know the rest of that? But with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So I ask the Lord to forgive me of my sins at the altar here, and righteousness takes over unrighteousness in my life. And then I get up and I tell people, I'm saved, and then I'm saved.
Amen.
That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Yes.
You see, it's hard to be a clandestine Christian. It's really hard. One proclaims to accept Jesus as their Savior, and most of the time they're greeted by a ho-hum attitude. Well, we'll see how far this goes. Yeah, he says he got saved, but who knows? But we'll see. See? Mentally we think, oh no, let's see if it really caught, if it worked. Here is Jesus riding on the back of a baby donkey, a colt. Nothing is wilder and harder to control than the colt, a donkey. But the power of Jesus tames that colt. See, you remember he tamed the Sea of Galilee? How many remember that?
Yeah.
Remember those storms had to be calm? Remember he tamed the demonic Gadarene and cast the devils out? Remember every time he came up against the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, he tamed them. Amen? He had power over sick. He had power over death. Ask Lazarus.
Yeah.
Ask the son of the widow of Nain. Ask him. Yes, he had power over death. Taking a little donkey was no big deal to Jesus. See? And that is his position. His position. Not just his prerogative, not just his power, but his position. He enters into Jerusalem as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, proclaimed by the people he came to save.
Amen.
See, he's unarmed. This is what caused the disciples trouble. See? Because they didn't understand that he was riding to his death. He was not riding to his throne. And that's a huge thing to remember. They thought he's riding to his throne. They thought that Rome would be vanquished. They thought that the kingdom of David would be reestablished. And he dies a few short days later on Wednesday. He dies on Wednesday. You want to know why? You can come to Wednesday night Bible study and I'll help you understand why he died Wednesday. We're not Roman Catholics, so we believe the Word of God. We don't believe tradition. Amen? So, he knew he was going to die. They didn't know he was going to die because they had not followed prophetic scripture. Had they followed prophetic scripture, they would have realized he's going to die. Because the Bible said he was going to die. He was the Lamb of God. The Lamb doesn't have any effect on the firstborn that are in that house unless that man dies and his blood is put over the doorpost. What causes that firstborn to be spared and not die is the lamb being slain. What causes me to be spared and never die, what causes me to have eternal life forever, is that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of this world.
Amen.
He enters in conquest, but he doesn't. He enters to conquer. He never leaves Jerusalem until after his resurrection. He's going into Jerusalem. He's going to go and celebrate the Lord's the Last Supper with his disciples in the upper room. Then he's going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and he's going to pray. And then he's going to be arrested and he's going to be crucified that same day. Then they're going to put him in the grave and three nights later he's coming out of the grave. They didn't realize that is the conquest. The conquest is sin, hell, and the grave. Glory be to God. No guns, no armies, no negotiation, no treaties to be signed, just a conqueror to exhibit his power. He came to preach peace to those who were near and far. He came to understand. He understood who his audience was. Now, he starts into Jerusalem with just his followers, the disciples. They take their outer garments off and they put them on the donkey, and he sits up on the donkey. And then as he goes in, they begin to proclaim him, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of... They are excited, especially James and John. Because they might get right and left hand. Because their mother had been to Jesus asking for the left and the right. For the two sons of thunder, James and John. And so, he's on his way in. They're excited. We're going to have the kingdom. It's going to be established. And listen to what they say. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The son of David. He's surrounded by these followers. Who might be there? Have you stopped to think who might be there? Do you think the paralytic might have been there? The one that was let down through the roof because they couldn't get in through the door? Because everything was so crowded in there, they couldn't get him in with his litter that he was laying on because he couldn't walk. So they went up on the roof, they took off part of the roof and they laid him down. And Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. Well, he first said, son, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees said, oh, you can't do that. You can't tell him his sins are forgiven. Only God can do that. Well, so you know that I have power in heaven and on earth to forgive sin. Take up your bed and walk. And he gets onto that bed. He had been paralyzed his entire life. Rolls up his bed and gets out of there. Blind Bartimaeus, ask him to testify. Jesus, thou son of David, he cries, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops and says, what do you need? Nobody coming to church here doesn't understand that Bernie is black. We all know. It's obvious. And Jesus says to somebody that it's obvious they're blind, says, what do you need from me? And he doesn't say, give me an ever-living break. You must be a politician for Washington, D.C. Are you that dumb? Your name must be AOC. Yeah. You can't tell that I'm blind? Look at me. I'm blind. No, he doesn't say that. He said that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said, so be it. And he was healed immediately.
Amen.
Are you hearing me this morning?
Yes.
The leper from Galilee that came as part of them. And he comes back and he's healed. He's got new fingers. He's got brand new skin. He's got a brand new nose. Lazarus, who comes out of the grave when Jesus calls him, had been dead over 3 days and he comes out. Mary, who accepted the Lord in worship, she was nothing more than a bad woman, but she accepts the Lord. They are changed by the power of God.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
As always, whenever Jesus is being given proper recognition, because that's what we're talking about this morning, there's people that think this is improper. This shouldn't happen. Some of the Pharisees, verse 39, called to him from the crowd, this is a scandal. You can't do this. Where's your permit to hold a demonstration? You can't do this. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. The stones are those who would come to faith and will not have concern for the opinion of men. Okay? I don't care what you're saying. I'm not paying attention to that. I'm a stone. They're going to honor the Lord whatever he requires of them. They're going to glorify the Lord in everything they do. They will not be stopped, they will not be still, and they will not be silenced.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The stones are those who learn that silence may be often misunderstood. Not everybody's going to get excited when you start obeying God. Not everybody's going to get excited when you start allowing the Lord to use you for his glory. See? They may even criticize what you're doing. They may even misunderstand what you're doing so that they criticize it. That what you're doing is causing them to think that you have a lack for God because they don't understand you're doing what God told them to do. That's like the Salvation Army man that is walking by a bar and the Lord speaks to him and he says, you go into that bar. He says, no, Lord, I don't go into bars. Somebody might see me. You know? And sometimes Christians aren't very forgiving. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Right? Amen.
No, you go into that bar. The Lord said at the end of the bar is an Assembly of God Pentecostal preacher talking to a prostitute and he's about to take her home and I want you to go in and stop him. And he says, how will I recognize that Pentecostal preacher? There'll only be one at the end of the bar with a woman. That will be it. You go in and get him. So he goes in and he walks into the bar and he taps him on the shoulder and he says, brother, you come with me, so says the Lord. I listened to that Pentecostal preacher because the discipline he had to pay to keep his credentials in the Assemblies of God, where he had to go around and in seminars all over the region, he had to tell preachers what he had been through and what had happened to him. And so I heard him say, I got a cold water rush all over me. And I went pale. God had sent someone into a bar when I'm talking with a prostitute to arrest me. And I was scared to death. I went out. And I went home and I begged my wife's forgiveness. I went down to the district office and I begged the district official's forgiveness. They put me on discipline, and this is what I'm doing because of the discipline. But had that one man not risked his reputation, because when they came out of the bar, I could see some holier than thou Christian going by. Hey, did you see that? Captain so-and-so from the Salvation Army. Oh, that's the pastor of the Assembly of God Church. This is good. This will print. This will sell.
Yes.
Hello? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says if you see your brother in a need, you which are strong, restore him in meekness.
Amen.
What is meekness? You wrap your arms around them and you cry with them. You pray with them. You fast with them. You seek God with them. Because you love them more than your own reputation.
Oh, yes.
Are you hearing that? Your act of love for God may be misunderstood. Jesus was misunderstood. Jesus was misunderstood here by the very disciples he came to lead. Hello? Not a one of them. Only one was at the foot of the cross when he died. Just one out of 11. One of them already committed suicide. But one out of 11. That's pretty poor average. Amen? Stones might be those that have the Holy Ghost in them and they've learned to quench the Spirit. You know, I got to be more reserved. I can't make too much noise. I got to be reserved. You know? Sometimes it's even an attitude of self-glorification. Stones might be those who live with a mindset that the praise is a cover responsible to a sinful culture of Christ being in my life. So I'm going to praise the Lord because I want everybody to hear that I'm praising the Lord. Stones could be those that know the Word of God and God's call, but they're living their own life because they don't like what God's calling them to do. Hello? They don't like the price they have to pay. They don't like the fact that they may not be able to do what they want to do. Even in the face of persecution by the Pharisees, the disciples still said, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. See, Jesus enters into his city with his own authority, and he's largely unrecognized for who he is. He doesn't enter as the King of Kings. He enters in as the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hear me this morning. Before you're the King of Kings, you're the Lamb of God. Hello?
Yes.
Except the seed fall into the ground and
die,
it remaineth alone. That's what the Word of God says. He said, come after me, forsake all, and die. Take up your cross and follow me. And he's headed to Calvary. Hello? Jesus is unnoticed, he's unrecognized, at least for the moment. But now we recognize him, amen?
Amen.
Leo, will you come to the piano? Amen, Emmanuel, let's go to that chorus. He is my King, and oh, I dearly love him. Amen? Would you stand with me? Don't sing it unless you really need it. Hello? Hello? I'm not going to sing it unless I really mean it. He's my King, and oh, I dearly love him. He's my King, none other is above him. All day long, his praises I am singing. When people are looking and when they're not looking, I'm still going to praise him.
Amen.
I'm going to make sure my conduct praises him. Hello? Even when I discipline my children, I'm going to praise him. Even when I obey my wife and clean the bathroom, I'm going to praise him.
Hallelujah.
Hello? Yes. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
My King. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, yes, my King. And oh, I dearly love. Yes, yes, my King. Another is above him. So all day long, his praises I am singing. Oh, hallelujah. He's my King, oh, he's my King, and oh, what a dearly love. Yes, he's.
Oh, and I'll reign with you through. part of the millennial reign of Christ, amen. It's going to be tough for us to be there unless his reigning starts right now. His reigning must start here. Everything that comes my way is a test. Are you going to put Jesus first, or are you going to make him second? Which is it going to be? I want to say this morning, it's going to be number one, Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. I'm going to make you number one this morning. I'm going to proclaim you, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, in my life this morning. I love you, Jesus. Can you say it with me? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus, and I'm going to prove it with my conduct. I'm going to prove it with my life. I'm going to prove it with everything I do and everything I am. I'm going to prove it. All hail, King Jesus. All hail, Emmanuel. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, bright morning star. And throughout eternity, I'll sing your praises. Oh, I will bring with you throughout eternity. Walk with us, Father, this week. Cover us with your blood this week. But most of all, give us somebody we can share Jesus with. Let our life be a lighthouse. Let our words be a proclamation of praise. Let those who see us know we belong to you, so that we guide and lead them to Christ, we pray. Bless your people in Jesus' name. And we'll thank you for it. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless.